Thanks for tuning in today. You're listening to the official podcast of First Alliance Church in Great Falls, Montana, creating passionate followers of Christ. Today's message is from Assistant Pastor Tim Buckheit.
You know, over the past several weeks, we've been sharing stories of people touched by Alliance Ministries globally. First, we heard from Toshi, a Japanese university student who turned away from a life of partying and despair when he found a Bible on the street and made his way to an Alliance church where he met Jesus and was transformed. God is still writing his story as he seeks to be a witness for Christ to his unsaved family and in a nation where less than 1% of the population know Jesus. Then we heard from Kong, a man from Cambodia, who experienced a miraculous healing from the Lord. Cambodia had been closed to the gospel for decades, and Alliance International Workers only started ministering there again in 2017. Kong began to travel from village to village to tell the story of his physical healing and spiritual rescue by Jesus, and partnering with Alliance International Workers there to disciple new converts and establish churches. God is still writing his story as our workers struggle to keep up with his bold and urgent witness to the lost. And today you met Renee, one of our 700 Alliance International workers who said yes to God's call to leave the comforts and familiarity of a home culture and language in order to support a team seeking to share Christ where he is not known or worshiped. God is still writing her story as she takes time with churches like ours to teach us about missions, and as she looks with eagerness to her return to the field this summer. With each story, we have sought to reinforce one main point. The task of world evangelization remains unfinished. The task of world evangelization remains unfinished. Across the globe, there are approximately 3.4 billion people with little or no access to a Bible-believing church or witness of the gospel. Since the 1930s, there has been a special emphasis in missions on people groups rather than on geopolitical countries. The word nations in the New Testament can literally be translated as peoples. People groups are defined by the Joshua Project and the Lausanne Conference on World Evangelization as the largest group within which the gospel can spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers to understanding or acceptance. Listen to that again. People group, the largest group within which the gospel can spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers to understanding or acceptance. Understanding refers primarily to linguistic barriers, while acceptance refers to cultural, religious, or caste barriers. Now, different organizations may publish different numbers of how many unreached people groups there are out there, and that can be based on whether their counting is more concerning language or culture. But the Alliance reports that there are more than 4,000 people groups who have little or no opportunity to know Jesus. Another helpful way that the Alliance describes it is like this. In areas of high access to the gospel, like the United States, a person would have to knock on about 6 doors before they could find someone who could tell them about Jesus. In areas with low access, like post-Christian Europe, a person would have to knock on 500 doors. In the areas with the least access to the gospel, like the Middle East and North Africa, a person would have to knock on 30,000 doors before finding someone who could tell them about Jesus. Throughout its history, the Alliance has been committed to evangelism, church planting, and supporting works of compassion among the least reached people groups on the planet. But we can see from these statistics, the job remains unfinished. A.B. Simpson, founder of the Alliance, was impacted by the words of Jesus in Matthew 24:14, which says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations, to all nations, and then the end will come." In fact, this verse has been so woven into Alliance DNA that many in our movement have talked boldly about our role in bringing back the King. I want to take a few moments we have left this morning to examine this verse and consider its implications for our unfinished task of taking all of Jesus to all of the world. But let's begin by looking at it in its context. It's the Passion Week. In the beginning verses of Matthew 24, Jesus' disciples were marveling at the temple structure, and in response, Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple, which we know took place in 70 AD. As they moved on to the Mount of Olives, the disciples followed up with a question about the timing and the signs to accompany the end of the age. So Jesus described for them the beginning of the birth pains. Those things that must happen first, including false Christs, wars and rumors of wars, and famines and earthquakes in various places. He also mentioned persecution of believers, apostasy, false prophets, an increase of lawlessness, and the love of many growing cold. And these birth pains are just the beginning. And so he goes on in verse 15 and following to describe the great tribulation preceding the coming of the Son of Man. And amidst all of these negative descriptions, Jesus offers one positive sign that will happen before the end: the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Now, to be fair, Bible commentaries and theologians disagree on whether or not Matthew 24:14 has already been fulfilled. The other birth pains in the previous verses could easily describe just about any era in the history of the world, although they may continue to worsen in degree as the actual end draws nearer still. And in his letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul did say that the gospel had gone into all the world. Colossians 1, 5, and 6, Paul wrote, "Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." And then later in that same chapter, in verse 23, Paul wrote, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Now, some suggest that Paul believed here that the Great Commission was essentially fulfilled in his day, while others contend that he used the terms like world and all creation to refer more generally to the Roman Empire, the known world of Paul's day. Or maybe he used it as a rhetorical exaggeration, something to show how effective the spread of the gospel was. At issue in these various positions is how the return of Christ may be imminent in the sense of happening at any moment in the way it was described at times by Jesus and Paul. How can the second coming be imminent if Matthew 24:14 hasn't been fulfilled? Well, frankly, I don't see this as a problem. And I believe that the reality of the unfinished task of world evangelization and the imminence of Christ's return need not be in conflict in our minds. Only God knows the time it will happen. And with each passing day, it is closer to its fulfillment. Regardless of when it will happen, the fact of the matter is that Jesus' second coming has already been delayed for 2,000 years, and as long as he tarries, we still have work to do to make disciples among all the people groups of the earth. I believe the words of Peter are helpful here. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You know, instead of getting distracted by speculations about the end times or seeking ways to get ourselves off the hook for the unfinished task of the Great Commission, let's instead invest our time and talents and treasures to proclaim and demonstrate the gospel, to make disciples, and to establish multiplying church networks among the least reached people on the planet. Given that somehow this worldwide proclamation of the gospel is mysteriously connected to the return of our Lord and King Jesus Christ, let's pray for the passion that A.B. Simpson and other early Alliance leaders expressed and lived in bringing back the King. Of course, the actual timing of Christ's return is under the sovereign control of God, not us. Yet we have been invited repeatedly through multiple instances of the Great Commission in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. We have been invited to join him in the work he is doing to rescue the lost. We in the Alliance have as one of our core values that lost people matter to God and he wants them found. So as we consider Matthew 24:14, and this incredible promise that the gospel will go forth as a testimony to all nations, all peoples, before the end comes. What are some implications for us here at First Alliance Church in Great Falls, Montana? What might God be saying to us? I'm going to suggest three implications for you to prayerfully consider. And the first is this. God has a heart for our neighborhoods and the nations. God has a heart for our neighborhoods and the nations. Some people mistakenly hear, when we place an emphasis on the unreached with little or no access to the gospel in other parts of the world, that we do not care about the many needs that exist in our own backyard. Nothing could be further from the truth. Matthew 24:14 reinforces that the gospel is for all, whether they are near or far. It is a false dichotomy to say that we cannot invest in outreach to our neighbors and to the nation simultaneously. Yes, we have to be strategic. We have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit so that we are effective as possible. We do not want to be a mile wide and only a foot deep, so to speak, in how we do missions. But we can care about both at the same time. In Acts 1:8 that I read earlier, Jesus said that the Spirit would empower us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. By God's grace and empowerment, we can have a redemptive impact in all these spheres of influences, locally, regionally, and globally. The missionary heart of God expressed in Matthew 24:14 is really the heart of God expressed in the whole Bible. And we have the immense privilege of being invited in his work, of spreading the knowledge of his glory across the earth as the waters cover the seas. We can do both local outreach and global missions well in the power of the Spirit and in partnership with our broader Alliance family. Second implication, the local church is God's plan A for the evangelization of the world. The local church is God's plan A for the evangelization of the world. Now, while the local church is not specifically mentioned in Matthew 24:14, Jesus had already promised his disciples that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And later in Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all nations, of all peoples. We know from a study of the New Testament that making disciples, making fully devoted followers of Christ, involves more than just getting people to say a sinner's prayer. It actually involves assimilating them into local bodies of believers where they may grow into maturity and become disciple makers themselves. And we may use many varied, creative, and necessary strategies to spread the good news of Christ. Education, relief and development, music, sports, business, medicine. But all those demonstrations of God's love are just a part of what God is doing to call us to multiply networks of churches among those with the least access to the gospel. It's a challenging work that takes a long time, especially as we in the Alliance target specifically those parts of the world that are most resistant to the gospel. The work requires faithfulness. It requires dependence on the Lord from all of us. This is the calling of the whole church. And in the Alliance, we do not outsource missions to a denominational headquarters. Yes, we partner together as an Alliance family to best manage our resources and be more effective in the work. But First Alliance Church in Great Falls, Montana, has a specific role to play in investing our resources, in raising up those with specific gifts and callings for intercultural ministry, in praying for more workers for the harvest, as Jesus commanded us to do, and establishing effective partnerships with those we send so that they are well cared for and supported, and we are effectively engaged. We are God's plan A. And believe it or not, we can do more. I really believe that. The task before us is enormous. But I also believe that the Great Commission can be completed in our generation if churches like ours would make the sacrifices necessary to get the job done. We're God's plan A. Third implication. The other birth pains of the end that we experience should motivate our missional engagement rather than distract us from it. It should motivate our missional engagement rather than distract us from it. If you read Matthew 24, verses 4 through 12, it sounds like the news we hear every day, doesn't it? Wars and rumors of wars. Is the next big war in our contemporary world going to involve Russia or China or North Korea or Iran or some other foreign power? It's hard to say, but rumors of wars seem to be on the rise. Famines and earthquakes. Food for the Hungry reports that 805 million people worldwide, 300 million of whom are children, do not have enough food to eat. And 750 million people lack access to clean drinking water. In addition, there have also been over 173,000 earthquakes in the last decade of at least a magnitude of 4.0 or greater, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. And that's not to mention the many other devastating natural disasters that have wreaked havoc all over our world. Suffering, persecution, and death. According to the Ministry of the Open Doors, in just the last year, over 340 million Christians live in places that experience high persecution and discrimination. 4,761 Christians were martyred. 4,488 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked. And 4,277 believers were detained without trial, or were arrested or imprisoned. That's just in the last year. And those statistics do not include the growing experiences of persecution taking place in areas that supposedly still have religious freedoms. False Christs and false prophets, false gospels have become prolific. So much so that it's becoming impossible for those of us in full-time vocational ministry to keep up with all the false teachers who are out there leading people astray with different messages than what the gospel proclaims. An increase in lawlessness. You'd have to be living in a cave to not see how right and wrong have been turned upside down in our world today. The love of many will grow cold. YouTube is now overrun with people's personal stories of faith deconstruction, and the hashtag exvangelical movement continues to gain steam as people leave historic Christianity in droves for a different gospel promulgated by wolves in sheep's clothing, or worse, for no gospel at all. On top of that, Barna reports that 47% of professing American Christian millennials believe that it is wrong for them to evangelize people of different faiths. And I would imagine the numbers of Gen Z Christians believing evangelism is wrong would be even higher. My point here is that all of these signs, whether the real birth pains or not, all these signs should raise the Great Commission temperature of our church and motivate us to engage more with Christ's mission. In spite of the bleak picture we see, especially from our American news sources, there is another reality that we don't hear much about. The fact that the global Christian church is massively growing. Jesus is fulfilling his promise to build his church worldwide. And as we do our part to help improve gospel access globally, might we be the generation that sees the return of our coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ? Only God knows. But what a time to be engaged in Christ's mission. Instead of wringing our hands and bemoaning the state of our country and world, Matthew 24:14 invites us to invest our time and our energy and our resources in Christ's kingdom, an eternal kingdom where our citizenship, our loyalty, our attention, and our service belong. A.B. Simpson once said, "We need to finish our unfinished work. We need to do the things we've thought of doing, intended to do, talked about doing, and are abundantly able to do." God invites us into the unfinished stories of individuals, communities, and peoples he loves and longs to embrace into his family. We invite God into our own unfinished journeys, allowing him to mold us into his son's likeness and help us to see the world through his eyes. And we join God in his unfinished mission, the Great Commission, until all have had the opportunity to hear and respond to his invitation. Oh, there's so much more we could say about Matthew 24:14, but the time is past, the time is short. One very practical step that you can make today is to make a faith promise pledge to the Great Commission Fund, our funding vehicle we were talking about just moments ago, how we send Alliance workers into the harvest. You can give to the fund generally to support wherever the greatest needs exist, or you can give to the Alliance worker you love, whether it be Laura or Renee or any other worker with whom you have a connection. It all helps. It all helps. What is God calling you to give? During our closing song in a moment, you can bring your faith promise pledge cards up to the communion table by the cross. And if you've been listening to this need for global access to the gospel and you sense the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart to go, feel free to come forward during the closing song and sit on this front row. One of our elders or pastors would love to pray with you. And then you could talk to Renee or to me after the service, and we can tell you more about next steps for pursuing a life of mission service. What is God speaking into your heart as a result of focusing on Matthew 24, 14? What is your next step in staying engaged with the unfinished task of completing Christ's commission? Pray with me. God, what a joy it is that you invite us into the work that you're doing, calling people to yourself from our neighborhoods and the nations. God, we long for the day of your return. And until that day comes, help us to be busy about the work that you have called us to do. Use us, O Lord. Send us. Help us to sacrifice more. And Lord, may the barriers to access be broken down. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior and coming King. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by the message today. Follow us on social media to keep up to date with church news and events.